So imagine John's out in the wilderness somewhere, and people have heard about him, and they want to go and find out and hear what he has to say, and they start asking him, are you the one? And he says, no, it's not me. There's someone else coming. And then in the record in John chapter 1, it says the next day. And I don't suppose it was the first time that he had been asked, but it's the way it's recorded. It's certainly people are asking, and there is this kind of curiosity of what's happening, what's going on. And then the next day Jesus turns up. I don't quite know how it would have happened, because all it says in verse 29 of John chapter 1, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him. And I kind of imagine that there must have been the crowd, otherwise why would he, John, have said what he said? But there it was. He makes this statement. As Jesus walks towards him and these others no doubtedly around, John, well, it doesn't say that he pointed, but I kind of imagine in my mind he points. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the earth, the sin of the world. Do you think that made sense to them? In reflecting on this statement, I kind of think it must have made some sense to them. Otherwise, why would John make it? Why would John say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, unless they associated it with something that they already knew? It would be a nonsense statement otherwise. It would be like John standing up and Jesus walking towards him and saying, behold, the giraffe who does the spring cleaning. I mean, it would be nonsense, wouldn't it? Unless it meant something. Unless they kind of associated the Lamb of God, they knew what that meant, they knew about the taking away of the sin of the world. It would be a nonsense statement if it didn't have some other reference. So what was John talking about? What is this Lamb of God taking away the sins? Well, what do you think it might be? What is it that in Jewish tradition was something that they did that signified the taking away of sins? Now, I haven't got time today, and maybe we can come back to this, because there's some interesting details about things that happened at the Day of Atonement. Because on the Day of Atonement, we have an animal that has this significance of the laying on of sins on this animal, this goat animal. And then it was taken away, and there was the sins of the people, and it was sent away into a wilderness place. And do you think that is what they would have associated with what John had to say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or is there something else? Because that was something that happened, as I said, on the Day of Atonement. That happened around that sort of September, October time, depending on the time of the year and quite when things fell. That was one of the ways that the Hebrews counted their year. They had two ways of counting their year. One was this civil way, which started around about September, October time. And there was a religious way, a ceremonial way, one that God had asked them to remember when they left Egypt. And that happened, started around about March, April time. And that started with not a Day of Atonement, that was a few months later. It started with something that God asked them to remember. What did God ask them to remember when they were still in Egypt? Is there something that happened that we can start to link and draw lines between? When John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," is there something else? Did something happen at Passover? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The scripture reading. Who read the scripture reading today? Colin. Thank you, Colin. So that if you turn to Matthew chapter 21, we have this triumphal entry scene. And there are some details in there that should not go unnoticed. We have this triumphal entry. Now, already, this is some years later, after John has made this proclamation about Jesus. What was the proclamation about Jesus that John made? "Behold the Lamb." And then we have this scene happening, this triumphal entry, and Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Now, there is something special about Jerusalem. Does anyone know? Do you know what was built and located in Jerusalem? The temple. The temple. What's another name or reference to the temple? You see, Jesus picked up on this even as a young boy. If you read in Luke chapter 2, we see that as was their custom, Joseph and Mary would take Jesus. He was 12 years old in this story. They would take him to Jerusalem. And do you know what the time of year was? It was for Passover. You see, this story is the story where Joseph and Mary seems to think that everything is in hand and everything is good. And Jesus is with them in the crowd somewhere and they're making their way back home. And it takes them some days to find Jesus. But when they find Jesus, where did they find him? In the temple, in the house of God. You see, if let's read it. I'm going to turn to it. Luke chapter 2. They're in the Bible study group that meets on a Wednesday evening. Wilma said something very important. A reminder. Don't believe it just because the preacher says it. Read it for yourself. So Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Is the story. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And then we find in verse 49, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. This is Jesus. Didn't you know I had to be in my, what does your Bible say? Father's house. Passover. Father's house. Come back to Matthew chapter 21. What do we have going on in the story? We have this triumphal entry. And if we carry on, where did you finish? And it was at verse 11. We have these kids shouting, "Hosanna." People shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Then Jesus entered Jerusalem, and the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And that's where our scripture reading finished. Now, I deliberately chose to finish there because there are some details I want to dig over with you. So follow with me. Jesus entered, and this is verse 12 of Matthew 21. Jesus entered where? The temple area. Jesus entered the temple area. What is the temple also called? The house of God? Well, let's see if Jesus calls it that as well, because it says he's entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house. Whose house? My house. I thought this was God's house. Jesus is God. My house. My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. A house, a temple, Jesus coming in, this triumphal entry. Do you know what day it was when Jesus came in with this triumphal entry? We call it by a certain name. We don't put a Jewish spin on it, we put a Christian spin on it. What do we call it? Begins with P. Palm Sunday. Ah, so it happened on a Sunday. Well, that's convenient because a lot of people, well, a lot of Christians go to church on a Sunday so they can celebrate Palm Sunday. Oh, lovely. But there's something more significant than that. We have a look in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 12. I've got too many bookmarks falling out all over the place. Exodus chapter 12. My gift bookmark. If it hasn't been announced, did you make an announcement? Good. Gift aid with gift now. So that's even more money for the church. So thank you for that. So Exodus chapter 12, we have actually this whole story of what happened with the first Passover. If we look at verse 14, in fact, God says, this is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. And this is something that they celebrated year after year after year, something that Jesus participated in, right the way up to the Last Supper. But what was to happen? Beginning of chapter 12 of Exodus, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month. Wow. So this is where this new year cycle started. The first month. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb. Anyone's alarm bell starting to ring? Each person is supposed to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they shall share with one with the nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there. And on it goes. The animals are to be looked after then. I'm just going to paraphrase for you. They look after the animal. Once they've taken this lamb in on the 10th day of the first month, they are to look after it and then take care of it then until the 14th day of the month. This is verse 6. When all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. This is what happened with this Passover lamb. It happened on what day? The 14th day. This was on a Thursday. It was the Thursday, what we call the Thursday, but it was like Thursday evening, the end of Thursday during the daylight and into the evening, into the 15th day, because that's the way that the Hebrews count their days. Remember from creation, and there was morning and there was evening and there was morning each day, evening to evening. So if we realize then that the lamb is taken and offered on that 14th day into the 15th. If that was that Thursday into Friday, Friday being the day when Jesus gave up his life, do you know what the significance is about that Sunday? It was the 10th day of the first month. The day when people were used to celebrating the Passover and they would take their lamb into their house. Wow. What scene do we have playing before us? Flick back again to Matthew 21. Triumphal entry. Who is Jesus according to John? Behold, the Lamb of God. And where does Jesus end up on this day? The Lamb of God ends up in the house of God. The Passover was to be celebrated in a manner of being prepared. Preparance, is that a real word? They are to be prepared, ready for their deliverance. You see, what happened with Passover is they would take this lamb, and this lamb would be their substitute. The blood of the lamb would be posted on the doorframe, and they were to believe that that lamb's blood was sufficient for their saving grace, their salvation, their deliverance. They were delivered that night, but they were delivered also the following day, when God led them out of Egypt. He also delivered them on the following days as they went through the desert. He delivered them on the following weeks and months as they went through the desert and through the sea that parted. The people of Israel were to put their faith in their deliverance of this substitutionary lamb, the blood of the lamb. Jesus came into Jerusalem. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. The deliverer was coming into the house of God to give of himself. And so when we remember, as Jesus asked us to, remember what happened at that Last Supper, we're remembering something that supersedes the Passover. We are remembering the blood of the Lamb. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And that's why when Jesus said to the disciples, do this, and when you do it, remember me. When we do it, we remember what has happened. We remember the deliverance that is happening, and we remember the deliverance that will happen when Jesus comes again. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's not by our doing, it's by the love of Jesus. Deliverance came once upon a time through the act of Jesus. Deliverance is something that we can experience here and now. And deliverance is something that we anticipate when Jesus comes again. As we participate in this ordinance with this bread and wine, may we anticipate God's continued deliverance of us now and his fulfillment of deliverance on his return.